Here's a thought I'll title, New Life for Old Ideas. Now that I've been involved in photography pretty seriously, consistently, for 50 years, I look back and realize I had a number of ideas that I thought were pretty good at the time, but ultimately rejected because they were just too odd. They broke long-held, well-established conventions, and so I let go of them. But now I realize they were pretty good ideas all along. I let convention rule my thinking, which is an attitude that I now realize is always a mistake, particularly for you young photographers. Never let convention get in the way of your creativity. One of the mistakes I made that led to me not using some of these odd ideas was that I tended to look at them as an all-or-nothing proposition. I was either going to go in and produce all my work with that technique, or I was going to produce none of it. Truly binary thinking. And of course, in the world of art, there's never such a thing as binary thinking because there's always variations. We can always change course. We can always play with an idea for a while, and if it ends up being a dead end, no big deal. You just go back and try something new. But I didn't realize that. So because I chose convention instead of innovation, those ideas got more or less lost, not shelved, but kicked out of the darkroom entirely. And looking back on those ideas, I realize what a mistake that was to be so binary in my thinking. Here are three examples of ideas that occurred to me in my youth that I never followed up on and should have. And now, in my latter years of photography, I've picked up on these and found that they were actually pretty good ideas all along. The first example that comes to mind is that I was photographing long shutter speed, flowing water, and made a number of exposures, all on film, of course, because I wasn't exactly sure how they were going to look, and the water's moving so fast that I couldn't stop it instantaneously in my eyes. And this is before I was shooting Polaroid, so I had no way to pre-visualize what my results were going to be. So I experimented with a bunch of different shutter speeds, etc. After I developed the film, I made contact sheets to see what I had, and I found that there was an interesting sequence on one roll of film where I had shot 8 pictures all the same. That's when a roll of 120 film only gave me 8 shots. The first 5 of them were quite interesting, all the same shutter speed, but each was subtly different. And the thought occurred to me that that's exactly the same thing that happens with flowing water. It's never the same on 2 separate instances. So I wanted to portray that somehow in a work of art. And what I ended up doing was taking a large piece of mat board, cutting it to size to fit all 5 of those images as 5x7 prints, so there were 5 5x7 prints in 1 mat board with 5 separate windows cut. And in fact, I did it as a double mat board, so it was very much a finished piece of work. I never framed it, but I had that double mat board, oh gosh, it must have been 32 inches, 40 inches long, something like that, and maybe 10 inches high with these 5 images in it. I shared this piece of artwork a couple of times, and it never made much of an impression. People thought it was too weird, it was too unusual. Why 5 images in the same mat board that looked very similar, but they weren't, because they were different instances of the flowing water with the long shutter speed. But I thought it was pretty cool. I wish now I had explored that more deeply. I realized that putting together multiple images like that creates a small project, sometimes with a more interesting statement than you can make with one image. And in this case, one image would have said flowing water. 5 images together say flowing water is never the same thing twice. That's a different statement than flowing water. Unfortunately, the concept of matting 5 images in 1 mat board was just too odd, too weird, and so I never did it again. But now that I look back on it, I can see that might have been a very, very early seed of what I now think of as seeing in 6s. The second example of an old idea that I gave up was black mat board. It occurred to me that white, bright areas in a photograph will be brighter and seem whiter and just livelier if they're seen against a black background rather than as a white background. Very bright highlights against white mat board look like gray. Very light highlights against a black mat board look like light. I thought it was wonderful. So for a while, I made black mat boards, presented all of my images against a black border. I didn't do it with black mat board because black mat board's actually not very black. It's kind of dark gray. So instead, I printed my 8x10s on 11x14 and gave a full exposure to the four margins around the 8x10 image so that the photographic paper itself turned totally black, and that's a very deep, dark black. And I thought my light-colored images popped out against that black with a sense of liveliness that I just was never able to achieve matting in white mat board. Well, I took it to the local photo group and was more or less shot down immediately because that's not what galleries want. That's not the way photographs are made. So I tried a few variations, like cutting a white mat board that showed a half an inch of black all the way around the image, but then there was no place to sign it. And every time I showed a fellow photographer one of my images with a black mat board, that became the total focus of conversation. Not the subject, not the thing I was photographing, not the artwork, but why was I using a black mat? And I realized it became a distraction. Well, now, in the age of PDFs and digital presentations, a black surrounding border on all four sides of an image is what we get almost by default, and it makes the whites stand out as being whiter than when they're seen against a white background. And now I realize I was actually just kind of ahead of my time by about 30 years. And the third example is a multiple image project that I did in my early days called The Valley Spirit. I wanted to do a small project that had 8 images shot from Polaroid positive negative material. I made contact prints on gel and silver from the negatives and wanted them to be seen as a group. The Valley Spirit is a phrase from Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, and so it was all pictures of water in the land. But I didn't have any idea how to put together 8 images into a thing. This was long before I had worked out the idea of folios. So I had small portfolio boxes custom made and put the 8 images in a small portfolio box. At the time, it was sort of silly looking because the prints were 3¼, 4¼ contact prints matted in 8x10 mat board and then all of that inside a slightly bigger than 8x10 custom made portfolio box. It looked great. I liked the project. But the custom portfolio boxes cost me about $100 a piece. In 1980, they were just ridiculously expensive. So I was on to a good idea, but I abandoned it because of cost considerations, not aesthetic considerations. The aesthetic idea of putting 8 images together in a group still holds up. I just hadn't thought of folios or PDFs at that point. So there are 3 examples of how sometimes old ideas that might seem odd at the time might actually just be prescient. And I suppose the lesson here is, just because the idea is odd, don't give up on it. Just because it's unconventional, don't let that intimidate you. If it's a good artistic idea, it probably is a good artistic idea.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.